The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to AgeWise Living. Thanks so much for joining us today. I am so delighted to be here and I am so delighted to have all of you here too. I'm your host, Barbara Friesner, and I am a generational coach. And as a generational coach, I work with family members, and always the family members, never the senior, always the family members. And I help the families determine the right solution to their elder care issues. And more importantly, I think anyway, I help the families communicate with their aging loved one so their aging loved one will actually do what is in their best interest, which, as you may probably know, is really the hard part. And since all generational coaching is by phone, I work with families all over the world. In fact, I just started working with a woman in China who is taking care of her parents are here in the States, her siblings are in the States, and she's in China working, and I just love Skype. Anyway, and speaking of siblings, since sibling relationships are often an issue, in fact, for some caregivers, it's harder dealing with the siblings than it is with their parents. I help siblings work together, at least if they can't work together, at least not sabotage the caregiver. And I became a caregiver as the result of 25 years of personal experience as a care manager, first for my grandmother, and I did that for many years, and then for the past 17 years for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia. Much of what I learned about being an elder caregiver was through trial and error, which doesn't exactly reduce the stress. But as a result, coupling 25 years of personal caregiving experience with lots of research, 9.5 years ago I started my company, AgeWise Living, and became a generational coach to help other caregivers so they wouldn't have to go through the time and money and stress of trial and error, and so they could resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families, and you can sign up for that at agewiseliving.com. What else do I do? I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. I'm a speaker and seminar leader, and big news, da-da-da-da, I am the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. Now, for the past several weeks, I've been mentioning the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, and I've been saying, I'll tell you more soon. Well, soon is finally here, and I am so excited about it, because as I said before, until I broke the code, I wasted time and money and energy figuring it all out by trial and error. Did you know that the average time most baby boomers are involved in their parents' care is 15 years? Mine was 17 years, and that's a long time to be providing elder care by trial and error. The great news is, ta-da! The great news is it doesn't have to be that way for you, because I've poured all of my 25-plus years of elder care experience into the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. It's a wonderfully, amazingly comprehensive and lots of information, lots of resources, and it's guaranteed to address your most difficult questions and communication issues and roadblocks or icebergs and that are so typical for caregivers. And helping caregivers avoid the problems is why I got into this in the first place. Take a look at it. You can see it at the shop page at agewiseliving.com. Go to the shop page and click on the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And what you'll see is that it's not a textbook. You know, it's not a lot of technical jargon or medical jargon that ends up making you more confused than when you started. In fact, it is a very simple, step-by-step, easy-to-follow program. But one of the things that was really important to me is that even though it's a system, you can jump around to the stuff you need right away. It has lots of checklists and examples and all kinds of information. Plus, it comes with 8 CDs, and it's really incredible. Got to check it out. And it's guaranteed not only to be able to understand it, and also guaranteed to be successful. So the Ultimate Caregiver Success System is perfect for you if you're a member of the sandwich generation, which means that you're squeezed between raising children and caregiving responsibilities for your parents. Or I usually use the term aging loved ones because it's also in-laws or, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever. It's perfect for you if you're completely stressed and struggling with your elder care issues. You lay awake nights worrying. You feel like your life is out of control, dealing with sibling issues, any of those things. Perfect for you. So, again, if any of those sound like you, please go to the shop page at agewiseliving.com and click on the Ultimate Caregiver Success System and see what I'm so excited about. That's the shop page at agewiseliving.com and click on the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And having said that, I also have this show, Age Wise Living, because it's my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And that's just so important. And that's why I'm so delighted to have with us here today a woman by the name of Jen Devine, and she's going to be answering questions about hospital discharge plans. Because talk about crisis. When your loved one is ready to leave the hospital, if you're not prepared, it's a crisis. So with that, hi, Jen. Welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here. Let me tell everyone about you a little bit.
Great.
Jen is a licensed master of social work and has been working for Caring People Home Care since 2007. And Caring People is a licensed home care agency that provides certified home health aides to the elderly and the disabled. Jen graduated from Adelphi University with her master's in social work and received a certificate in geriatric care management. Oh, I thought I was going to stumble over geriatric. geriatric care management from Hunter College. Congratulations.
Thank you.
She has experience in emergency services, discharge planning, long-term care, and home care. And currently, Jen is the Director of Community Outreach at Caring People and provides complimentary assessments to all potential clients. And your job is also to go out into the community and work with professionals and develop relationships in the senior healthcare field and markets various programs to the community. So you're a very busy lady.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, again, welcome. I am so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to start with a really basic question because that's what I like to do. So the first really basic question is, what is a discharge plan?
Well, a discharge plan describes the follow-up care and services that a patient will need after leaving the hospital. And a good discharge plan will review how these services will be provided.
Okay, so what do you mean how they will be provided?
Well, meaning that if you're going to be referred to, say, a certified agency, how is that process going to happen for you? That's a big question a lot of patients have. And the discharge planner will make that referral for you. Whereas if you need private care, like services from caring people. That's something that the social worker will help you to get to, but they may say you really need to do the research on your own. So a good plan, in my opinion, is going to really spell that out for you.
Okay, so it starts out by saying this is what you need. So you might need to go to rehab. You might need to have in-home care with someone who can do medical stuff at home.
Absolutely.
So that's basically what a discharge plan is, what it is. And then a good discharge planner is going to help you to know what all of those things are.
Right, and to understand it, because it's so complex if it's your first experience. And we deal with a lot of families where this is their first experience ever going through something like this. And there's so much to navigate through, understanding what is certified versus licensed, what does it mean to go into rehab, and then, of course...
Certified versus licensed. Say that again?
What is certified versus licensed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, certified home care... that's going to be covered by your insurance.
Okay.
And that's skilled care. You have to have a skilled need in order to get it.
Okay.
Whereas licensed is really going to be your custodial care. So if somebody needs 24-hour care or if they need help with bathing and dressing, that falls under custodial. And licensed agencies take care of that. So that's the difference.
So that's somebody so the first one, the certified, is somebody who can do medical kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, and the second one is just someone who's there to help you and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Thank you. And because there's so many terms in all of this.
I know,
It's so confusing.
It is.
So who determines your discharge plan?
Well, your discharge plan should be determined by an interdisciplinary team. The case manager or social worker then takes the recommendations of the team and coordinates the discharge.
Okay, wait a minute. Back up for a second. Interdisciplinary,
no problem.
Who would be on that? Your doctor?
It could be your doctor, your nurse, if you're receiving any sort of therapy in the hospital, your physical therapist. If you're in there for a specific reason, if there's a specialist that's involved, and then, of course, your discharge planner. That makes up a team.
Okay. And go ahead.
So in most cases, the social worker coordinates discharges to facilities such as rehabs or nursing homes. Case managers typically are going to be your nurses, and they coordinate the discharges back into the community. Not all hospitals work that way, but in New York, that seems to be the way it goes.
Okay, so if you need to go to the next facility, then the social worker is going to help you there.
Right.
But if you're going to go back home and it's just, talk to your doctor, see your doctor in 3 months or 3 weeks or whatever, that's the nurse?
Right. And they're typically called case managers or care coordinators.
Okay, because they're the coordinators for your care.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And how much notice does a person get that they're being discharged?
Okay. Well, in New York State, all hospital patients must receive a written discharge plan at least 24 hours prior to discharge.
Okay. Now, before we go on, because that's...
Sure.
There's more to it, and we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
And I really want to let you have all the time you need on that. So we're going to go for a short break right now. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living. Our guest today is Jennifer Devine of Caring People Home Care. And when we come back, she will be answering more questions about hospital discharge planning. But if you'd like to ask your own questions, please, please do call 866-472-5788, or you can email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. That's barbara@agewiseliving.com, and I'll check my email, and we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back. This is AgeWise Living, and I am Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Jen Devine, and she's answering questions about hospital discharge planning. And please, I encourage people to call in if you want, because we'd love to hear from you. But before we went to break, Jen, I had to cut you off, and I apologize for that, but I had just
asked problem.
How much notice does a person get that they're being discharged?
Well, in New York State, all hospital patients must receive a written discharge plan at least 24 hours prior to discharge.
24 hours?
I know.
24 hours? That's like nothing.
It's like nothing.
Tomorrow.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think it's great what you're doing, Barbara, because it is so important to plan for the emergency before the emergency happens, because absolutely that is legal. Legally, they have a right for 24 hours notice.
Yeah. Okay. And what if you don't think you're ready to be discharged?
Well, you do have a right to appeal the decision for discharge. And in fact, all hospitals have a copy of your rights as a hospital patient in New York, and this will walk you through an appeal. Your discharge planner can help you with this process as well.
Yeah, but you've got until tomorrow, and you say, I don't think they're ready, and what kind of process are we talking about? How do you go about, you know, saying, I don't think they're ready? How long is the appeal process, and who do you talk to? I know you said that you talked to the social worker or the discharge planner, but...
Right. Well,
how does the process
work? What we always tell people is that it's important to remember that it's your insurance company that determines what medical care they will or will not cover. A lot of people do feel like the hospital is kicking them out, when in actuality, the hospital reports the patient's status and the insurance company determines coverage. So in most cases, if you lose your appeal, you will be required to privately pay for the hospital stay while you are waiting for a decision to be made. If you win, typically the insurance company will pay retroactively. So the discharge planner will help you to walk you through the process, and what you're, who you're really appealing the decision is to the insurance company.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Insurance companies typically, it's usually 3 days they can get back to you within.
Okay, and is that even if the doctor says no, they really need to stay longer, is that enough?
Not always.
Really? So
not always. But you know, most of the time I would say yes, but not always.
Okay, so if you don't think you're ready to be your loved one is ready to be discharged, you need to get on it
immediately.
Immediately. Okay.
Immediately. Absolutely.
Okay, now I have a question. I understand that people get notice, but what happens if they don't do anything? I mean, maybe the hospital discharge planner didn't do what they were supposed to do, or maybe the family didn't do their part. But those are the panic calls I get on Sundays, and I get a lot of these where people will call me, and I wish it were my area because I would love to help them, but they call me on Sunday and they say, my mother is being discharged tomorrow, what do I do? And
right.
They've really done nothing. I mean, what do they do with that?
Well, what I always suggest when I get phone calls like that too, and I always suggest go back, find your social worker or your care coordinator in the hospital. There is always someone there.
Even on Sunday.
Even on the weekends. And that coordinator can go back and look at what the recommendations are. It may be that because you're calling on a Sunday, may be more difficult, and potentially you may have to privately pay for one day, but hopefully that won't be the case. And then the care coordinator will get moving on things right away to help you to get your discharge plan set appropriately. But you need the information. Without the information, it's hard to help a family member. I, in certain circumstances, when I've gotten these calls on the weekend, the family has given me permission to speak with a hospital worker, a care coordinator, or a social worker. And in those cases, I can speak directly one-on-one with them, and that's very helpful because I can understand the language and help them to speak to the family member. So sometimes I've been able to do that. But typically in the hospital, they're going to give you notice. So usually they're going to say to you on Friday, listen, you know, we're going to discharge mom or dad on Saturday. And the minute that you get that, it's so important to begin planning. You know, the weekdays are always a lot more advantageous to begin the planning process. If you did not get notice, then absolutely the hospital cannot force you to privately pay for anything because that's their fault.
Okay. But so, and I'm really surprised by this. Thank God we never really had to deal with this kind, we never had to deal with this kind of thing with my mother, but
sure.
They can tell you on Friday she needs to leave on Saturday, and they
yeah.
need to have they but by then they needed to have sat down with you and said, here's a list of places to go for rehab or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
So they needed to have done
and
that before
Friday. And the
thing
about if you're going from a hospital into a rehab, the social worker or, yeah, in that case it would typically be the social worker, will actually come to you and say, pick your top five places. You pick your top five places that you would want to go to for, say, rehab, or if it's long-term placement, if that's a decision that has been made. And they will send out what's called a PRI. It's a patient review instrument. And a nurse does this. It's a document. Again, this is a New York requirement in order to get into a facility. You have to have what's called a PRI.
And in other states, they just should ask their hospital when they go in what the process is when they leave, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're going into a facility, they will already make that referral for you. So they will refer you to your top five places, and then they'll come back to you and they'll say, hey, choice number two, choice number four, they've accepted you. Where would you like to go? And then you would tell them where you'd like to go, and they will coordinate the transportation for you to get over to the facility.
Okay, now what if 1 through 5 is not available because they're so good or just so busy, and
right.
number 6 is crappy, and you don't want your loved one there.
The law states that whoever accepts you first, they have a right to discharge you to that place.
So even if it's a place that I don't think is going to give my mother the kind of care I think she needs to get, I'm stuck with that?
Yes.
Wow.
But then, once you are at this facility that you don't feel is acceptable, you then are going to meet with the social workers there, and you're going to say, hey, listen, these are my top choices of where we feel we want mom or dad to be, so can you please begin working on this immediately?
And they're going to do it even if it means they lose the business?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. And if for some reason you were suspect that they were sabotaging that, well, then that's a horrible thing. And obviously, you know, you could bring that up to administration because that's illegal.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
Okay. So, but then you're starting all over again. So
you are.
You need to be discharged to the next place. And I mean, what if your top choices, the first five that you thought were really good or that you thought were good enough, don't become available for a while and your loved one is in a place that you think is substandard? What do you do?
Well, then I would go to what are your second? If you really feel that they're in this bad place or not even that necessarily has to be bad, it just might not be for them. Try to figure out what are places that are a little bit above that and get referrals there. All skilled nursing facilities are more than happy to give families and patients tours. So we always recommend take tours. Typically, I have found in my experience working in a hospital and in a skilled nursing facility that you usually do get in to one of those five places. Has it happened? Yes, but it is rare.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
Yeah.
That makes me feel a little bit better anyway.
Yeah.
That's good.
A little bit of a relief.
yeah, really. Now, does a patient have a right to self-discharge, even if the hospital doesn't think that it's in the patient's best interest? Can I say, or, you know, me as the family member or my mother say, time to go, I'm done, and we want my mother out of here? Are they allowed to do that?
Absolutely. As long as the patient is alert and has capacity, we all have a right to self-determination. However, the hospital has a right to discharge you against medical advice and record this. In most cases, coordination of aftercare is not done in these circumstances. But what I recommend...
So what you mean, coordination of aftercare, so they're not going to do a discharge plan. You're not going to say,
right,
I think she's ready to leave the hospital to go to rehab, so please coordinate rehab even though it's 2 weeks early and you don't think she should go. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, no, we don't think she should leave and,
right,
you know, see us in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Yes, they have the right to do that. But what I always suggest to family members when they're saying to me, you know, Jen, my mom is done, I just want to bring her home, you know, as long as you have the proper care in place, a lot of times the care managers and the social workers are going to go back to the team and they're going to do their best to work with you. I mean, that's really what they went to school for. That's what they want to do. They do want to help you. So as long as you have come up with a safe alternative and you're making that apparent to them and showing them proof that you're doing that, typically they're not going to discharge you against medical advice. But, you know, we do have those cases where it clearly is against medical advice, especially if somebody is alone and they really don't have the care or they're refusing to hire privately or they just don't have proper care in place.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna stop right there. Very interesting. We're gonna stop for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And our wonderful guest is Jen Devine of Caring People Home Care. And when we come back, she's gonna be answering more questions about hospital discharge. If you'd like to ask her questions, please call in toll free. And I'd love to hear from you. If you want to send it by email, so send it to Barbara@AgeWiseLiving.com, and we will be right back.
We'll be right back.
the Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty has just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program. Call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living, and I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Jen Devine, and she's answering all kinds of questions about hospital discharge planning, and I'm finding it fascinating. I knew some of the stuff, but I really never had to deal with it personally. I'm so thankful for that because, you know, there are so many questions and so many decisions and stuff like that. And so it's wonderful to have you here. Now, another question. Sometimes people will go to the hospital on an elective basis where they they know that eventually, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong on this, where they might have to have a knee replacement and they say, all right, let's do it now because I want to play golf in the fall or something like that. That would be an example of elective where they decide that it's time for them to have whatever the procedure is, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a perfect example is the knee replacement surgery. Absolutely.
If you go into the hospital on an elective basis, how would you plan for discharge? Because you know it's coming. So what do you do in advance?
Right, absolutely. If you have that luxury of knowing when you will be going into the hospital, we suggest speaking with your doctor about what he or she expects your aftercare to entail. If you know who you want to work with post-discharge, you should tell your doctor immediately and tell your discharge planner once you arrive in the hospital. For example, if your doctor tells you you will require home care and you know who you want to work with, tell the discharge planner, and the discharge planner will coordinate with the home care provider of your choice. We always recommend, once you arrive at the hospital, request to speak to your discharge planner so you can introduce yourself to them.
Okay, so you're going in. Now, before you go in, you talk to the doctor and say what you want. You decide what will be best. And he says,
absolutely.
Yeah, you need this or that. You don't
absolutely.
Need medical care, but you need somebody who can, like, rebandage your leg or something.
Absolutely. Or in cases of knee replacement, a lot of times the doctor will say, we want you to have physical therapy. So you may want to ask your doctor, okay, well, what kind of physical therapy? Because there's outpatient. There's physical therapy that you can also receive in your home. You can also go to an acute rehab or a subacute rehab. So typically your doctor is going to have some sort of an idea of what it is that he or she thinks you will require.
And what's acute and subacute?
I'm sorry, what?
Define acute and subacute.
Well, acute is going to just mean the intensity and how and the frequency of the therapy you will get inpatient. So acute is going to be more frequent and more intense, and subacute is going to be a little bit less. But again, both are inpatient. Typically, acute is going to be in hospitals, and subacute is typically going to be in nursing homes.
Which is where they would go for the rehab.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what else? So you talk to the, but you wait. So when you get there, you're checking in and you're seeing your room and checking everything out like a hotel, you wish.
Right.
And then you immediately you say, I'd like to talk to the discharge planner. And they're gonna be around and
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, usually, and once the nurse comes in, you could say, may I please, you know, speak with my discharge planner, or can you ask my discharge planner, you know, to come to visit me or call me when it's convenient, that kind of a thing. And if you already have all your homework in place that you know that this is what you want to do, when you introduce yourself to the discharge planner, you can hand over that piece of paper, and then that discharge planner will coordinate that for you.
Okay.
Right from the beginning.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have it. Now, what happens if, in case of an admission into a hospital, in an emergency, you know, call 911, the ambulance comes, or, and maybe this is a different question, or you're getting ready to leave the hospital for having, you know, elective and all that sort of thing, and suddenly you're not doing so well. You had a problem with the anesthesia, now you have dementia, which often happens. You know, where there's forgetfulness and other issues. And now everything's changed.
Yeah.
So how can you plan for that?
Right. Well, we do not like to think about it, but we all know that there is a possibility that we will experience a hospital stay in our lives. So what we tell our clients is to plan for an emergency before that emergency happens. Make sure you have a healthcare proxy and a living will. These are documents to ensure your medical wishes are granted in the event you cannot make decisions for yourself due to your medical state. So we recommend researching rehab facilities in the event you may need one, or assisted living facilities. Again, this is going to go back to picking your top five, as the hospital is going to refer you up to five facilities. And the first one that accepts is the one they are going to admit the patient to, and they have this right. We also suggest, as part of the research, take tours. So it sounds kind of silly that on a beautiful Sunday, you know, and you're healthy and well, going to rehab facilities and doing this, but it puts you in the driver's seat. So that's what we suggest. We also suggest researching home care companies. It is very likely that after a hospital stay, 911, you're going to need custodial care. You're going to need someone who's going to assist you with bathing, showering, toileting, light housekeeping. And as a social worker for caring people, part of what I do is I make on-site visits to hospitals, or I will even go to a person's home to answer questions about home care, and it's complimentary. So somebody can call me perfectly in a healthy state, and maybe they'll never even need this, but they can call me and I can come to their home and sit with them and answer their questions about home care. And a lot of agencies will do this. So we say, pick up the phone, ask for a representative to come to your house, so that you can understand what the culture of the company is. And then you're in the driver's seat because you know in the event of a 911 call, you know where you'd want to go for rehab, you know what home care agency you'd want to use, and we suggest putting it in a folder. And now there's all this technology where you can, you know, you can take things and you can put it right into the computer. But if that's not for you, put it in the folder and tell your family members or your friends where it is. So if you get called into a hospital 911, they can go grab that folder and then they can hand it right over to your care coordinator. And then all your information is there. So even if you're having a bout of forgetfulness, whether it be short-term or long-term, your wishes are there.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough how important that is, because especially sitting down and talking with somebody from a home care agency, even if you never need it, and doing it while you're still healthy, because one of the things that I always tell people is that it's better to talk about health issues when you're healthy.
Absolutely.
It's easier to talk about health issues when you're healthy. It's easier to talk to your aging loved ones and say, you know, I know you're perfectly healthy. This is not, you know, we're not talking about tomorrow or the next day. And again, choice, not crisis. But are there some in the area? You know, this is a good time while you're still healthy to go to the senior center and talk with your friends and find out who they liked, who they didn't like. And I would go so far as to say, you said most agencies will come to your home. I would go so far as to say, and you may not always have this option, but I'd go so far as to say, don't use one that won't come to your home. I mean,
if you
have an agency that's not willing to work with you during the sales process, it's like, you know, someone who's not particularly loving while you're engaged, do you think it's going to get better when you get married?
Right.
You know, this is the time
you need to
be talking, and if you don't like them when they're trying to encourage you to use them, you're not going to like them later. They're not suddenly going to become caring people. They may be qualified, and they may be licensed. They may be all the things that they have to be, but they're not necessarily going to be people you like, and that is huge. And that only comes because I know just from my mother's death last week, is that in the moment is not the time to make a decision of any kind. So this is, you know, you're making a decision about who's going to come into your home and be around your loved one and be around your stuff.
Right.
And, you know, you need to find somebody you feel good about.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think when you do these things before, you get to concentrate on your loved one. Or if, God forbid, it's you, you know, you can concentrate on getting better rather than trying to research this. And a lot of times I get calls when people are in crisis. So, you know, we just can't stress it enough that this is really a way that you can just help yourself to deal with it better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's probably something, since I'm all alone, I probably should do the same thing. But then I've got you. I'll just pick up the phone and call you. How's that?
Absolutely, Barbara, anytime.
Thank you very much. You say that now. But when we come back, we only have about a minute. And so when we come back, I want to ask you some questions about who pays for home care, because we've been talking about, and I'm guessing, that rehab is paid by the insurance company. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So good. So they're going to get out of the hospital. They've got that covered. They're going to go to rehab, and that's covered. And then they come home, and they need to have home care, and that gets into a whole other area. So when we get back, we're going to be talking about that. So right now, we're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to AgeWise Living. Our guest today is Jen Devine of Caring People Home Care, and when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about hospital discharge planning, and such an important topic. By the way, for more information about Jen's company, Caring People Home Care, please go to the website caringpeopleinc.com. That's caringpeopleinc.com. And If you'd like to know more about generational coaching and the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, you can go to my website, which is agewiseliving.com. And while you're there, I hope you will sign up for my weekly newsletter. Again, that's agewiseliving.com. And with that, we will be right back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another?
Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I am Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Jen Devine. And Jen is with CaringPeopleInc.com, Caring People Home Care at CaringPeopleInc.com. And she's answering questions about hospital discharge. And one of the things that we were talking about before we went to break is what happens, you know, okay, so you're discharged from the hospital, and now you go home. And you, maybe you go into rehab, whatever, but now you're going home, and now you need home care, whether you need to have the kind where you have someone with medical ability or whether you have somebody with who can just you know, make sure you get to the bathroom and cooks and, you know, does some of the other stuff. So the question is, whichever type you get, who pays for it?
Well, Medicare and other primary insurance companies will cover certified home care services, but you must be eligible for this, and your discharge planner will help you to determine if you are. So these services are short-term, and they're minimal in hours.
Hey, wait a minute. Talk to me about short-term and minimal in hours. Short-term
okay.
is what? Less than a month?
Well, it ranges. Again, what happens is you have to show continued progress, and you have to show need. Once you start to plateau in your progress, the insurance company is going to say, okay, well, now you've plateaued for X amount of time, so therefore you are now going to be handed over to custodial care. And that is something insurance will never cover. Primary insurance will never cover custodial care.
And what is custodial care?
So custodial care is going to be your activities of daily living, dressing, bathing, which, of course, also then a lot of times if you need help in those areas, you're going to also need help with some light housekeeping, laundry, cooking, and things of that nature. That's all considered custodial care.
Okay, so the insurance is going to pay for the medical care, the license.
The certified
right. the one that's going to provide medical care. And they're going to say, okay, you need a certain amount of medical care, but we've determined that it is only to change your bandages, so someone's only going to, on your knee surgery, so they're only going to come in for an hour a day, and you say, but I need somebody to get me to the bathroom and somebody to get me in and out of bed. How does that work?
Okay. Well, what happens is if you are eligible for certified home care, a nurse is going to come in. Typically, they come in 24 hours after your discharge date. And a nurse comes in and does an evaluation. So let's say, for example, it's a knee replacement, and maybe that doctor feels that that person needs to go home and have home care. So that nurse is going to come in, and this will be paid for by primary insurance. The nurse comes in, does an evaluation.
Okay, now, they come in 24 hours after. So what do I do for the first 24 hours?
Right. That then is up to you. So either you can have a family member who can help you, or you can call a licensed agency and have a home health aide come to the home to assist you with whatever your needs might be until that nurse comes in and then does an evaluation to tell you, okay, this is what you're eligible for. But whatever happens prior to that 24-hour period, that is something that you're on your own for.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So the nurse will come in and will say, okay, you're eligible for some physical therapy. You are eligible for a home health aide. Now, insurance will pay for a home health aide as long as you are enrolled in a certified program. The issue with it is that it's minimal in nature. So, for example, with Medicare will give you up to 20 hours in a week. But the truth be told, just because they say 20 hours, it doesn't mean you'll always get 20 hours. What we are finding patients are getting is anywhere from 2 to 3 days an aide to come in to give a bath. Okay? And then, of course, the nurse will go through and will also see, oh, maybe would a social work visit be good for you? I always recommend, not just because I'm a social worker, take the social work visit. You're entitled to it, and that social worker may be able to help you to find if you're entitled to any community resources. Or maybe they could tell you about your community and what's out there. Maybe they could help you with a transportation application. Maybe you need to talk about finances, and they can help you to talk about your options. So you have to really know what is going to be the level of supervision you're going to need. And again, your discharge planner and care coordinator will be able to tell you that. They're going to be able to say to you, listen, you're going to go home, you're eligible for some certified care, but we really think you need 8 hours a day of supervision. We're really concerned, and that's our recommendation. Then you're going to have to work with a licensed agency, such as Caring People. Would be an example. And Caring People and other licensed agencies are covered either through private pay or long-term care insurance. Now, governmental assistance such as Medicaid will also pay for custodial care. Not all agencies have contracts with Medicaid. So again, that's where it goes back to doing your research.
Okay. Because private pay can also add up to, and they're not always available.
Right.
Depending on the area that you're in, they're not always available. What if they're not available?
Well, if they're not available, then, again, you really want to, you know, and also going back to research, a good point is sometimes if you live in areas where transportation is not accessible, you want to plan for that. And that really goes back to, especially if you're in an area like that, doing your research ahead of time is so important because you want to find a company that can get the home health aid there. That's going to be important. And, you know, if somebody calls me and we're not right for them, I will help them to get to a company that is. Because, again, each licensed agency has a different culture.
Okay, now, unfortunately, we've run out of time. And we still have more questions, and this is absolutely vital information. Would you be willing to write up the answers for me for my newsletter?
Absolutely.
For the ones that we've left, because this is such important information.
It's my pleasure, of course.
So that will be in next week. So anybody who is interested in the rest of the information, please, please, please go to agewiseliving.com and sign up for my newsletter. I'm at agewiseliving.com. I'm so sorry that that's all the time we have. The time went really fast. I'd like to, again, thank Jen Devine so much. And if you have any questions for Jen that you didn't get a chance to ask, then email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. And I hope you will tune in next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern, when our guest will be Dennis Haber, and he'll be talking about all kinds of information about reverse mortgages. So thank you again so much, and until next Tuesday, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week, and carpe diem, seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.